Kathy, if you please turn to page 183 in the Gold Book. Towards the bottom, you see a mantra between the fine print, and let's chant that Shakyamuni Buddhist mantra. So we'll chant that three times. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye so. Please turn to page 34. Let's read the four measurables in English there. and then chant it in Tibetan. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Chan Chan Tom Chan Wadong page 37 is Chen Rezi's mantra and Green Tara's mantra. So let's chant Chen Rezi's mantra eight times and Green Tara's mantra seven times. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. Now that the children are free to go to their classes,
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
So what is happening now? What is happening? Is there something for teenage? No?
That's later.
Later. First, I would like to wish you all happy holiday. So I'm out like 3 months. I've been disappeared from the center. So my last trip, last month, I was in Patagonia, yeah, middle of nowhere, visiting Tibetan Lama, visiting Argentina Lama, Argentinian Lama on the mountain, wild Lama. Wild Lama on the mountains, you know. Tibetan Lama visiting Argentina Lama. Argentina has many Lamas, but no Dharma. No teachings. Lama just hang out. So I went there to learn how to hang out. Being a Lama, but not to teach, you know, just like Argentina Lama on the mountains and in the desert. They took me to see the glacier. Took like probably 1,000 miles. So the way back, so like it's like desert, it's like 100 and 100 miles. The desert. There's no trees, and you see llama, Argentina wild llama. So there, way back, there's one llama, the mother llama, I think, they call Jama, but it's actually it's llama. So then mother inside the fence, so baby outside the fence. So then on the road you see, you know, the llama somehow, the way they build the fence, llama kind of, you see like quite often, llama die on the fence because they're trapped and they jump. Maybe they don't see the fence because the wire is so tiny, maybe they could not see very well. So then, you know, because they roam freely, so all of a sudden there's a fence, they couldn't see, then they just jump, then they know they're trapped. So then I told them I want to see, you know, how they die, I want to see. Just to go close and how they die, I want to see. Then way back, there's one mother and baby, not really babies, not tiny, but quite big, separated. So I got worried, you know, so maybe they're not, yeah, the baby's going to die. It's only a matter of time, it's going to die. because baby don't know how to go through the fence, even though there's a way to go, but no, couldn't see. So we tried to, the mother is crying, like trying to help the baby to come over the fence. So I told them, so we have to rescue this baby, you know, so don't let how we rescue. So then we stopped, you know, there's me, two person, there's a car. So we all tried to rescue, they run very fast. can't catch up with them. So then mother's crying, like, found mother realized that we are trying to help. Otherwise they say, they just, you know, spit, you know. So if you go too close to Arjuna Lama, what they do, they spit. Arjuna Lama, if you go too close, they spit. I think that's a good thing, no, that's a good thing. It's good to have some distance. Yeah. So anyway, then we find that then, you know, the baby like just run through the fence and just bounce there, hits, then comes back. Don't know how to go through. So then we kind of, they not me, but they kind of give up, you know, so they say, okay, let's go, it's too hard. So then we went. So then when we went, then some of the fence is like down. I didn't realize, but car is like driving like 120 miles per hour, driving very fast. Then I said, oh, look at those fence. Maybe we can chase the baby all the way up here, then baby can go. So they go like, oh no, Gisela. I said, we have to try. I said, no, we can't just leave the baby there, it's no good. So then we drove back, didn't realize. I said, now I just know to go the car, go the side way to protect the baby, should make sure the baby doesn't get across the road. There's another fence, you know. So the car drives, then me walking, and there's another man, he said, no, we are walking. Like probably been like 30 minutes, you can see the fence. Now the baby is getting a father and a father from the mom. So anyway, so there's a, no matter what, we are not going to give up. So we are going to get to the fence. That's down. That fence is like many, many miles. No, like many, many miles. So then, it's kind of interesting. All of a sudden, middle of nowhere, it rains. A little bit, like 2 minutes, it rains. And what I told them, you know, this is like flowers, rains, you know, they are like happy that somebody's happy that we are rescuing this baby, you know. The rains a little bit, 2 minutes, then stop, you know, then it's clear sky. So anyway, so then the man is kind of tall, he has long feet, he walks much faster than me. I walk slow. Then I look, I found one piece of metal. And one stick, then I just bang, you know. So that I can see them, they're there. All of a sudden, the car's coming down, the man is sitting there. I thought, oh, good, maybe it's now already, you know, the baby already crossed the fence. And I thought, that's what I thought. When I look close, the baby's running towards me, they lost the baby. They lost them, you know. The baby's running towards me. So there's nothing I can do. I never encounter wildlife in my life. Argentine Lama running towards Tibetan Lama. Tibetan Lama has no idea. I really don't know what to do. So it's not, you know, I don't think you can catch. It was quite big, you know. Probably it may break some of your bones. So then I have the piece of metal. I just bang. The car is running. The man is way behind. He's like cannot catch up with the babies. All of a sudden, babies like approaching to me. Then I just bang. The can. All of a sudden, I make sure the baby doesn't run through the road, cross the road. And then all of a sudden, baby somehow jumped through the fence. This is not the first time, there's many times. Somehow, this happened so fast, you know, it's only like behind the fence. Body is behind the fence. Now the head is stuck. Like this. All of a sudden, somehow went like this. Free, out the behind the fence, and looking back to me, so what happened? I don't know how it happened. It happened before then, you know, baby, many times, maybe just bounce, very hard. This time, somehow, to went through the side, he just behind there. So Tibetan Lama rescued Ajahn Dalai Lama missions complete. Yeah, that's quite adventurous. Yeah. Didn't receive teaching from them, but you know, rescue one of them. Yeah, did not receive any teaching from Ajahn Dalai Lama. But for me, that's quite adventurous. So just want to share that now with you. So then went to see like Cambodia. No, in October, in September, went to Cambodia, visited many school, and also village. Because nobody knows me, nobody knows me there. So I was really happy because nobody knows me. Did some charity work. And also, some of the village, their living condition is very, very heartbreaking. Since my mom passed away, whenever I go different countries, whenever I see the women like around my mom's age and there, so I, feel connected. Can I do something for them? Or maybe, to still there some part is like kind of like empty. No need to feel. No time to time need to feel because the mother, no mother. So then doing something good for them, it feels like that you kind of reconnected to your birth mother. So anyway, so then there are some places and and I dedicated the merit for all the people, all of you. I dedicated the merit for all of you here at the Kadama Center. So, and very, very, like I said, it's not for fame because nobody knows me. It's not for fame because nobody knows me. Oh. So I don't want to advertise because I'm sharing with you, but it's not online. I'm just advertising with the photos. What I told us, I went with one monk. So they are taking a lot of photos. I said, please don't just put the photo on the internet. I don't want anybody to know. That's not why I came here. I just want to do whatever I can do. I just want to do it. So I told them some part is like to feeling that there's some part of me that's empty, or missing mother. So they try to fill that gap. Some part for that, and some part I just want to help, that's all, So, it's like money goes very far away, like if you change $300, there's like a couple hundred thousands their money. So I give them, not much, but I give them and buy rice, oil, soya sauce. There's some of the lady, the old, they have no kids. Nobody take care of them, it's like they are like where they sleep. It's like then you learn something, complaining about your life never ends, so now you realize there's really nothing to complain. The same human being, no difference, physically, mentally, same human beings, and now somebody living like that, so here in the West, compared to living condition here and compared there, it's like nothing. So then you realize, how fortunate you are. So, something to be grateful. Just want to share that with you. So then, the one thing that I realize, they are culturally Buddhist. But their knowledge of understanding of Buddhism is very limited. So, this is not, that's why His Holiness Dalai Lama is encouraging people, regardless whether you're a monk or nun, become, if you want to become Buddhist, so you should become 21st century Buddhist means Buddhist with knowledge. So then that's what is lacking there. That's unfortunate. Even like monk, their knowledge is about Buddhism is very limited. So so then, you know, And as I met this little boy, so whenever you go, there's a lot of children, they're trying to sell you something all the time. So there's one little boy, he only looks like a monk, because his head is like this. Probably seven or six years old. I was visiting the Angkor Wat, there's an old monastery. Then he comes to me and he wants to sell me something. Then I told him I have no money. The problem is if you buy one, then there will be 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, then they tell, then there's a whole group you can't buy. I said, I have no money. Then he told me, you are lying. he is right, because I'm lying. He said, I just saw you bought water. The little one. So he says, please, he's kind of begging, please, please, no good business. Today, no good business. And I look at him like, you are like just tiny. You're talking about business. And I say, so what I'll do, I'll take you one photo with me, then I'll give you money. I'm not going to buy anything. So like that, you know, so it's hard. So then, you know, sometimes you've been cheated. And of course, you know, whenever something like that happens, your mind immediately tries to react, you know, negative way. So you have to know, it's hard. When we face difficulty, it's hard. It's very hard to think something good. It's very hard. Not easy. So, So my point just I want to share with you is like compassion, you know, compassion is very, very critical. So compassion. So prayer that we just said, you know, in the beginning, it's called four immeasurable. You know, when you, this is a four immeasurable, when you summarize that, then that's like the message is compassion. So it's very, very important. I mentioned the problem. If you come here, can you imagine this? I've been here teaching last 15 years. I've been here now 15 years. I've been talking. So, compassion. Wherever you go, nobody argue with the compassion. Nobody. So, the mantra that we recite in the beginning of the class, Om Mani Padme Hum. That's called mantra of compassion. So that's what's lacking. Whenever there's a problem, in the family, in the community, in the country, what is lacking is not because shortage of people are not saying prayer. People have been saying prayer throughout the centuries. You know, monastery exists throughout the centuries. Churches exist throughout the centuries. What's lacking is compassion. Individual compassion, you know, is like the is the key to success. Family life, community, in the community, in the country, what is lacking is compassion. So it is very, very important that we as a human being, you know, me including myself or my friend here, we should think whatever we learn here at the Kadampa Center, whether it's a prayer or meditations, the point is to develop compassion. The point is not to become Buddhist, that's another point. The point is to become better human beings. What is required to better human beings, what is required, it requires compassion. Without compassion, we cannot become better human beings. We need compassion, that's what we need. So every religion has same potentials to help us how to develop compassion. This compassion rescue. Compassion rescues people. Compassion rescue people from difficult circumstances. So, you know, whenever there's difficult circumstance, you know, so there will be, then there will be some problems. So compassion is not the weakness. Compassion, if we want to rescue, we need more, how you say, rescue, how you say, people who rescue, what do you call?
Rescue.
Yeah, we need more rescue. We don't need more religions. We don't need that. We need more rescues. No? We all need to be rescued. Rescue?
Rescuers.
We all need to be?
Rescued.
Yeah, we all need to be rescued because no, we all have problems. You may think, oh, Gisikele, he's free from problems. No, that's not, that's misunderstanding. I'm not free from suffering. We all have problems, different level of problems. So we all need somebody to rescue us. So the key, it doesn't guarantee, oh, maybe if you're Buddhist, maybe you'll rescue, doesn't guarantee that. If you are a compassionate human being, you will rescue. Even though you don't believe in anything, you will rescue someone. So that's why his word here is called basic human quality. That's what is lacking. See, it's not about how much you know about Buddhism. You could be, you know, like a genius. You know everything Buddha taught. At the same time, your heart can be like desert. Your heart can be like desert, nothing grow. It's like hot, it's like desert, you know, there's nothing grow. Because there's no moisture, there's compassion, you know, there's nothing will grow. See? So this is very important. Compassion rescues. Whenever there's like some difficulties, some problems, if the person has, person who sees that, if the person has compassion, that person will rescue, regardless. Compassion doesn't question what you believe, what you do, what kind of, you know, color you are, what kind of culture you practice. Compassion does not do that. When you look at, now you see this example that when you know, look at the Mother Teresa, people they see rescue, not all of them are Christian. A lot of them are Hindu. In India, a lot of them are Hindu. They are not Christian. See, according to the 8 verses mind-training text composed by Gisilang Ritapa, called 8 verses mind-training text. So the mind-training is the mind needs to be trained, otherwise problem in the world will continue. Problem in the family will continue. Problem in the community will continue. Problem in the Kadamba Center will continue if we don't train our mind. Means train means to change the way we think, to change. So now, according to the 8 verses mind in the text, that text has 8 stanza. Stanza number 4, that says, no, that's exactly the practice been seriously implemented by Mahatma Gandhi, Mother Teresa, all of that. That says number 4, you know, sincerely, genuinely implement by, or practiced by Mother Teresa. Rajing in the Sinjanams, you know. Whenever you see difficult beings, could be, you know, doesn't have to be human beings, difficult beings. So your perception of that being is like that, you felt like you found like some kind of precious jewel. That you felt like you found like a piece of jewel. No? That's exactly, I think, the mother sees. Whenever she sees, you know, people like just, studying Buddhism is very good. Very, very good. If you're Buddhist, of course you must study. You know, you must understand what is Buddhism, you know. Buddhism is not, this is not Buddhist. Well, this colorful thing, this is not, this is part of the Buddhist practice, but this is not Buddhism. Buddhism is like a form of truth. Buddhism is about teachings, you know. So it's, of course, but the purpose of studying Buddhism is to develop compassion. No compassion, we become like hot desert. Nothing will grow. So that's the key. That's the key. That's why I've been saying this last 15 years. That's why we come here. No, so then I share what I learned. So that's what I pray every day, that I become more compassionate and I could develop, compassion, and certain words. I always pray that it reminds me the importance of compassion. So that's very, very important. So whether it's like animals, if there's a couple of dogs, those group of dogs follow the person who feed them. So if you are being nice to them, so they also recognize your compassion. So compassion rescue. Okay, that's why it's very important. That's like the it's like the medicines. This powerful medicine is capable to eliminate 100 different diseases simultaneously. It's like chaja, 100 birds, chaja. 100 birds. Wurdo, I'm not sure what's it called, the lasso. In Tibet, they use, when they, especially the nomad, because they have like 100 yaks, they roam on the mountain. So when you recruit them, so they, you have to use this. Not with a stone, but you just empty it, then you make noise. That's how they, you gather all the yaks on the mountains. So, then typically, they use also stone. So then one stone could chase 100 birds simultaneously. So maybe compassion is like that, rescue. Then wisdom liberates. See, these two things, compassion, wisdom, that's what is critically needed, important, regardless whether you're a believer or not believer. What we need compassion. When it comes down to our own happiness, we need compassion. So, happiness for others, we need compassion. So, Om Mani Padme Hum, the mantra that we recite in the beginning of the class. So, Buddhism is like, some of our, you maybe already know, it's very deep. There's so much to learn. But in Tibetan community, majority of the Tibetan people, what they know, even the children, they know this mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. So that's what they know, that's what they do. So they do it very sincerely, So that's why last couple of months I've been encouraging people here, all my friends here at the center, to do something that, that you can do, and you can do it well. So saying Om Mani Padme Hum, what could go wrong? Very little. That's how you say. Then if something will go wrong, then you may say, "Oh, mommy, take me home." That's not that. Huh? Oh, mommy, take me home. You may say, "Oh, mommy, take me home." That's not that. I think that so far that's the little bit kind of mistake, but it's a good mistake. What could go wrong? Other practice, there are so many things could go wrong. So many this Vajrayana practice, this all other practices, visualizations require very strong concentrations, which we don't have. So many things could go wrong. First of all, there's no foundation, not built very solidly. Then top of that, you're building something. So many things could go wrong. But saying Om Mani Padme Hum, what could go wrong? That's how you say Om Mani Padme Hum. Very little things could go wrong. Very easy to say Om Mani Padme Hum. So then you say that with the understanding of the meaning of the mantra. So Om, as I mentioned before many times, Om means there's three letters, here. That's how it looks like. That's how it looks like in Tibetan word. That's how it looks like Om. A, U, Ma. There's three things together become Om. A, U, Ma. are symbolized body. U symbolize speech. Ma is like this, called tigle, tigle, no, that's tigle, that's what they call the round one called ma, they symbolize heart or mind. Body, speech and mind. Body, speech and mind. When we're trying to, when we say om, we're trying to improve. We are trying to improve. We are trying to improve our body, speech and mind. To try to improve that, you know, just like these three men draw, we are hoping that three doors will open out of compassion for happiness for other living beings and happiness for yourself. Then when you say om, that's what you're trying to think om. Money, jewel. Jewel has no values that will eliminate poverty. Yeah. Even poverty. So that is compassion. As a rescue from the poverty. Rescue. That's compassion. Money is jewel. You know, jewel lift up people from the poverty. Similarly, that money symbolize compassion. Compassion lift people from suffering. Lift people from suffering. Money. Peme, Padma, lotus. Even though lotus is like born in the muddy pond, but itself is pure. That symbolizes wisdom. Liberates, not mere desire. Wisdom liberates. Last professions. When you think about six professions, the last professions, wisdom liberates. Problem, as I mentioned before many times, this clock, the table clock has features. If you don't know how to use those features, not knowing how to use features, that's ignorance. Right? That's ignorance. So you can sit here, say, I go for every Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, till I reach enlightenment. So maybe hoping that you will know somehow, you will know how to use this, how to say, features. Without learning, that's not going to happen. What you need, whenever there's ignorance, with not knowing something, what you need wisdom. That's all you need. That's why the problem between you and this wonderful table clock, a problem between you and the future of this table clock, there's problems. You can liberate this from that problem. You have to learn how to use. If you don't know, then somebody has to teach you how to use them. Otherwise, you may end up breaking them, pressing all kind of buttons. You know, that's exactly what I do usually. Yeah. So then sometimes, you know, then the dead is wrong. Then the clock works. Then the clock doesn't work. Then when the clock works, dead doesn't work because simply you don't follow instructions. You don't know. So then you learn, no? What is required? It needs patience, practice, the time. Then you can liberate yourself from not knowing how to use this clock, and then learning that, then you will know how to use this clock. See, just mere prayer is not going to work. So wisdom liberates. So now money, padma is like wisdom. So now what we have compassion and wisdom. They're called two wings. You can fly. Next time, please, when somebody asks you meaning of the mantra, you explain like that. At least from your side, you give them explanations which have been explained. Not just, I didn't make this up last night, thinking, what I should say, it's already been said. I'm just repeating here. So at least from your side, that you have passed down some message that has been taught long time ago. But who? Unification. Unify. Through wisdom and compassion, through unification of that, we could liberate yourself, you could liberate someone else. So that's the meaning of the mantra. Oh? Compassion, wisdom, unification of compassion and wisdom, that is badly, badly needed. Wherever you go, same, different color, different looking, different language, different culture, bottom line, same. See, same. Argentina, Cambodia, wherever you go, same, different culture, same. So, oh, Manape Mehu, I just want to share this with you. Whenever there's problems, so we have to look, go in back inside, what is lacking is no word like compassion and wisdom. So then, here I also teach different types of meditations, combined with the breathing meditations. So point here again is build, or maybe improve, or build our concentrations. Very, very important part of the happy life. Peaceful life, of course, for peaceful life, concentration is a very important element. Concentration. So that's like the, when you think about the six perfections, that's like Buddhist law practice. When you develop bodhicitta, so then after that, what you do, you are supposed to, according to the teachings, you are supposed to practice six perfections. So then number five, the fifth perfection is like concentration. Why you concentrate? The reason should not be because I go to Kadamba Center. That's not good enough. Or because my friend is doing it. That's not good enough. We have to understand why, no. They did not say that you have to concentrate. Nobody said you have to concentrate. What they say is, if you concentrate, there's beneficials. What is the beneficial? What is the benefit of concentrating? To make your mind calm, peaceful. That's all. How we can tell? We have to concentrate. See? Don't just hope, those nuns and here, those monks, they will concentrate, then I'll get a peaceful mind. That's not going to happen. Sorry. That's not going to happen. How we can tell? When you concentrate. So that's why concentrating. So this is very important here. Being last 15 years here in America, you hear all kind of many programs here, there, many workshop programs, all kind of things you hear. So then, all kind of many different kind of programs. So here, like then, people say, don't think about past, don't think about future. How you say? Don't caught up with the past. Don't get caught up in the past. Don't think too much about the future. Be present. That's how they say. Be present. Very good. Very wonderful. So now, question is, how to be present? How to be present? Just simply saying that's not going to, it's good, it's better than nothing, but how to be present? Be within, be present. This is exactly nine stages of shamatha meditations. The first one, nandjoba, means be within. So that's the first stage, be with him. So then just sitting here like this, not doing nothing, like say like sitting like squirrel. Maybe sometimes it's good to practice squirrel meditation here. After a couple of minutes, maybe put a couple of nuts here. Sorry, just joke, sorry. See, this is like sitting. It's not really meditation, it's just sitting, no? Sitting. Squirrel also sits like this, you know, also like some bird, they can also sit like that. That's called sitting position, it's not meditation. So now all of us know we have, like, we need to think. Oh, concentration, how to concentrate? How that concentration practice can be done? How? So that's why we use our breath, you know, breath. Focusing on breath. That's the basic, very basic, basic technique. Very basic technique. I feel responsibility when people come here. I don't think they just come here to look at me or my clothes, you know. So then, you know, that you have so many things to do, particularly this month, Christmas, you have probably a million things to do, but you choose to come here, not chased by someone else, but you voluntarily come here. So then, you know, I like to know, they really want to make sure that I share something that you can, you know, I say, if you are interested, then, you know, you can practice. Concentration. So, the very, very basic technique, very basic technique, what do you do? You use your own breath. Okay? So, let me tell you one story. I'm not sure, like, I already told our director, Dr. Watkin and Dr. Brown, so we had, they took me to dinner last yesterday, so I told them. There's one master called Namgyel Norbu. Some of you may heard Namgyel Norbu. He was Nyingma practitioner. So when I was in Argentina, he came there in Argentina to give some talk. He was quite famous. And well, he was well learned scholar. He is a scholar. So he's old man. So lately he's been teaching all his students Tibetan dance. So he teach one hour. He's been teaching long time. I'm not sure what this switch, how is it, change. So, and he teach 1 hour. He was there in, like, when I was in Patagonia, and that's like 3 hours from Patagonia. He was somewhere there, you know, teaching. So some of the students, they went there, you know. When they come back, I ask them what he's teaching. So he said he teach, like, basically concentrations and the guru devotion. There's two things he teach. 1 hour. Then after that, 3 hours dancing practice. 3 hours. But it's not mandatory. So you can go, or you can also choose not to go. When you go there, he was there, sitting on a chair and looking everybody's feet, very seriously, who is making a mistake. If somebody makes a mistake, he really screams, you know. So Tibetan dance, you know, there's like, you can say, oh, I want to move my left leg. You have to dance, you know, everybody use the same kind of movement. So then, one couple, the man is from Switzerland, the woman is from Argentina. So, and they asked me to come to lunch before I go to airport. So then I went to that lunch. Then they're asking me, like, some of the songs they sing that I know. But, you know, I know those songs, Tibetan songs. So they got really excited because I know the songs. So they're asking me, can you teach us dance? I said, no. I never dance, and I never dance. So then, interesting. The Tibetan dance, you know, Tibetan music, even the His Holiness Dalai Lama, His Holiness the time to stop?
The kids are ready for Geshe Kwan.
Huh?
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, Tibetan dance story get interrupted. So you know there's a Vajrayana teaching, there's like generating states and complete states. So now I'm going to generate myself as a Santa Claus. for reasons, huh?
While we're waiting for the arrival of Geshe Claus and for the children to come back in, we want to take just a moment to acknowledge and rejoice in the generosity of our sponsors today. All the events today have been sponsored by Sheila, who led the mandala offering, and then Chantel is in the back, if you could hold your hand up, and their family members, they're sponsoring everything today. So you may come on up, and in particular, they're sponsoring the events today in memory of Charlie Smith. So thank you very much to Sheila, Chantel, and your family members.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. How are you?
Tired.
Thank you. Hello, how are you? Very good, good. See you again. Thank you. Very good to see you again. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. How are you? What's your name?
Mike.
Mike, nice to see you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Have a parent with them, so if you have a little one and you're not with your child, you can join them. And then after, you might be able to find a seat on your parent's lap. If not, you're free to exit. You can kind of cross back over traffic and play outside until the potluck's finished being ready. Right. For ages 5 and up, we may not have room on your parent's lap in this But parents, you're welcome to join your 5 and up child as you see them coming down this row so that you can join them. We'd like to offer a gift to you as well. You can cross back over traffic. Feel free to enjoy the beautiful day, circumambulate the stupa as the potluck's getting ready. If your child's fine coming through this line and going and circumambulating by himself, do not feel like you have to join him, but you're still welcome. There are gifts for all the children. They have age ranges on them. You do not have to stick with the age range. It is just to kind of help direct you where to go. I think that's it. Parents, do you have any questions? Don't be shy. Feel free to raise your hand. Okay.